Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:34 Central African Time, that time of the morning, where we join our very own Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Member of Parliament, also the leader of the NFP, someone that keeps us up to speed when it comes to parliamentary tunes. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, beautiful morning in the city of Cape Town. We've had 2 further deaths reported and 685 new infections. Malaysia, for the latest crime statistics, has been released and absolutely shocking. Over 6,083 murders in 3 months in South Africa. I mean, 1,222 attempted murders in South Africa alone. There were 10,000, let me repeat this one, brothers, 10,818 rapes committed in this 3 month period. Now, clearly, what does it tell you? You know, your kidnappings is on every, but every crime appears to be on the rise. Now, what does it actually tell you? It comes back to what we have been discussing on the radio time and time again. The lawlessness in the country, how people just do as and what they please. The criminal justice system appears not to be working. And I think we need to get to the root causes, the high unemployment rate in the country, corruption amongst the law enforcement, the undocumented foreigners in the country, you know, how easy it is for you to get bail. You get arrested and 2 hours later you get bail. The number of repeat offenders because of the parole system that we have, and parole officers do not do what they are supposed to do in any event in terms of monitoring these parolees. So there's a whole host of reasons why we are, unless you, and of course the alcohol appears to be the driving force amongst most of the crimes that have been committed. So really it's shocking. But of course the other one is the $4 million US dollars that was found in the farm of President Cyril Ramaphosa. And it seems like there's a lot more that meets the eye than we think, Brother Shafiq. Now there's a Namibian connection to it. There was an investigation in Namibia. It appears that the influence of the president and his people in South Africa's intelligence has tried to suppress the whole thing and did not want to pursue it. But again, if you look at the amount of money that appears to be involved lying on a farm, it, you know, the criminal charges that has now been laid by Arthur Fraser, yes, clearly indicates, and if you heard what Malema says, that there is video recordings which they want to release shortly, just waiting for due authority to do so. There might be a lot more money involved. They talk about the holding of the domestics that were working on the site for a couple of days, who she's been recording it. There appears to be so much that's going on, so it's leading to money laundering, corruption and things. And I want to tell you, leading to this conference that's coming up, there's a whole lot more that's going to be coming out. Now, this one means that the criminal charges have been laid and the police is investigating it. So the question that arises now is, should the president himself not step aside? I think the step aside should apply because there is criminal charges being laid against him as well. These are allegations, serious allegations. What he has never denied is that indeed this money was stolen from his premises. He has not denied that. But and I can tell you, Brother Shafiq, there is no way he's going to deny that the role that he or his people played in suppressing this whole thing. I mean, why is it we're hearing about it for the first time when so much has gone? The Namibian government, law enforcement were involved in it. They arrested Namibian citizens who were linked, because I'm told that a lot of Namibians work on his farm. So, you know, there's so much of answering for the president to do. I think this is really going to damage his reputation. And of course, if we've heard the latest, the DG in his office of the presidency has got death threats, you know, and they are asking her to block all these investigations into the Zondo Commission report and implementing any of those recommendations and things. go on to tell her that they have found, they know her vehicles that she drives and they tell her everything. So clearly indicates it's going to get very, very, very ugly. But what they don't consider at all is what is the impact it's going to have on the nation, on the country and its people at all. So yes, these are just some of the things that's making headlines. Of course, there's some serious allegations as well. And remember, Brother Shiva, this has come up many a times. And this too seems to be suppressed, is the arms scandal, if you remember. And there they're talking about both Mbeki and Mandela that's been involved in that arms scandal and benefited unduly from it as well. So the question that we need to ask is, who are the real angels? Are there any? Have there ever been any? You know, or is it those that were killed? Were killed because of the role that they wanted to play and wanted to be corrupt free, and who was responsible, like Chris Hani and things, you know. So yeah, that's just some of the things, but shocking. I mean, it never ends, never ends.
No, as you say, Ahmad, it never ends, and it you know, keeps on exacerbating the condition of this country, where, you know, what will happen, you know, the RET group will have an advantage over what Cyril Ramaphosa. Accusations coming through, that court case coming through, and it seems as if it gives a little hope to the RET faction that they can have the upper hand when it comes to this vital thing of the ANC, Ahmed.
I think there'll be more uncovered in due course. I think they're doing it, you know, in stages, the way I see it. If you heard what the legal team of the former president Jacob Zuma is telling the court, not to forget what happened in July. So what is that? Is that not a threat to the judiciary, telling them either you do what we tell you to do or you're going to expect what you got in July last year? So you can see where this thing is actually heading to. But I can tell you, this is just the beginning. If you remember, many a time, former President Zuma has said he, you know, the day he decides to speak, lots and lots and lots of things are going to come out. I hope that day comes, though, because I think it's South Africans need to get to the bottom of exactly what is going on in the country. And maybe once and for all, you know, we need to know, let it come out. So I think it's going to get very, very ugly. But yes, you are correct. They might, they're going to put pressure that the president himself will have to step aside. Now, remember, Paul Mashatile, the treasurer, and he is now going for, there are statements being made that he wants to go for the position of president as well, but others are saying deputy president. So maybe they might have to look at an alternative candidate if the pressure is going to be put on. And I can tell you now that with the way the step aside has been implemented by the CR side, means the radical economic transfer are going to push for that. And I think they're going to go beyond all limits to ensure that that is implemented and the president himself steps aside. So that is going to be interesting to see what happens.
Now, Ahmed, you look at the dark horse in the South African politics, has to be Malema. I mean, we may laugh at him and we may, you know, snigger at him, but he's got something going. I mean, you look at the election results recently, it's turning out to be all red. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Yes, very dangerous for South Africa, though I must be honest with you, Brother Shepherd. But remember, Malema's got the resources made available to him. He's aligned himself to lots of things. You've never heard Malema criticizing the Chinese in the country who are basically taking over the country. He talks about job protection of job, but look at the jobs, what they pay our workers and things. Look at the imports that are coming into this country, but all your manufacturing industry is coming to a standstill. Why is it people like Malema, who talks about South Africans first, who talks about protecting the workers, creating more jobs, why is it that he's not saying anything about all these things? So for Malema and them, it's not principles and ethics. For me, it is about, you know, power and control. And then the other thing is this, you must remember the divide and rule policy is existing in this country. There are those that want to get rid of the ANC government in any case. And those that want to get rid of the ANC government, you know, or the policy, the way they apply it, like they've done during the days of apartheid, will fund and promote Malema and them to do that and then deal with him after that, because they'll probably want to use Malema to get rid of the ANC and then eventually deal with Malemon. Because one of the divide and rule policies is, remember, there's a danger that if the ANC don't get the majority, they're going to go into a coalition with the EFF. So you can see the way the apartheid regime or those with an interest in wanting to divide the country and take it back to where we were, pre-1994. You can see that the stance that they are taking. And that is, it's very dangerous, though, for South Africa, because if you give Malema too much of power based on the utterances he makes, the divide and rule, statement that he makes about race, about who owns what in the country, and some of the statements like kill the Boer and things of that nature, and talks about the Indians and the Coloureds and the whites, and it certainly makes a very unstable future in the country. If you and remember, Malema's talking about nationalizing everything. Currently, it is the state-owned companies where all your corruption is taking place, including in these banks that was created like VBS Bank. He's talking about nationalizing the bank. He's talking about nationalizing most of these big industries. What does that simply tell you? You haven't dealt with the problems and challenges of corruption and looting, and they are beneficiaries of some of these things, Brother Shepherd. So it's going to only get progressively worse over a period of time if Malema is going to be given the power that he is getting today. But he's got an edge. Because I can tell you that he's being funded, and you know that he's been to many countries as well. And he's not the kind of person who cares about who gives it to him or whatever it is. For him, it's about getting that power and control. Although I must tell you that there is some level of mistrust in him, in his own political party. There are people that are wanting him out as well in the EFF itself. But you've heard what he said, that you must not forget that I am the one that founded the EFF. I am the one that started this. So EFF is Malema, Malema is EFF. These are some of the statements he's trying to make when he finds that there are people that are not entirely happy with him.
Yeah, with the votes coming through for Malema, then it makes a statement that the feelings of the youth is that they love that rhetoric of the Populist Party, condemning others and, talking about land redistribution and so forth, and, demeaning the Indians. And it is an innate feeling of the youth of this country. How dangerous is that, Ahmad?
Very, very much so, let me tell you. Yes, he is tapping into that sector because there's a high unemployment rate, and you're telling these youth what they want to hear. Remember something, Brother Shepherd, you must look at first of all, most of these youth that go to tertiary institutions even drop out. That's the first thing. So the unemployment rate in the country among the youth is extremely high. And now he knows they are vulnerable. So he's tapping into them by telling them that he will create jobs, he will do this and that. And people love to hear this revolutionary statement that, we'll nationalize this, we'll do this, we'll give you that, we'll give you that, we'll give it. End result is, can you deliver on those promises and those commitments you're making? No. But at the moment, what do? You're able to bus them, you're able to taxi them, you're able to provide them entertainment, you're able to provide them with food, give them their T-shirts, go out there. And so it's more a popular stance. But if you, like many political analysts who have interrogated even the EFF policies and things, have made it very clear, they have absolutely nothing to offer the country. Nothing. It's just that they're making the right noise at the right time. And that's what's making them more popular. And let me tell you, the youth will be the cause of their own downfall in the future, because this is how they conduct themselves. And yet you would think that with the opportunities that the youth are given today, they will take advantage of that and be the future that we're looking for. But clearly it is not that. He's able to influence them. And there's no doubt he's making great inroads into the youth. And the government, remember, he used to be a youth leader of the ANC and things like that. And the ANC has gone weak in terms of its leadership in all fronts, whether you talk about the women's movement, you talk about the youth movement. The problem is, the ANC has enough ammunition on Julius Malema, Brother Shepherd. They can't expose that. And the reason they can't expose it, because whatever he did, they did with him at that time. And so that's going to expose them as well. And for that reason, and the fear of that, they are not. But you can see that he's now on the RDT side. There's no doubt about it. And that's why he's willing to go for Cyril. There are also serious allegations that the RET side want to go in with Malema, you know, after 2024 elections. So I think we're in for a rough ride, to be honest with you. But the youth, very dangerous stunt. I can tell you, with the number of youth, and remember, South Africa's got a reasonably young population, mainly the youth, and it's going to be dangerous. They'll bring this country, there'll be mayhem and chaos in the country if that continues the way it is. But not many political parties, other than the EFF, are making inroads into the youth. All of them have them, but very, very limited, I can tell you now.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And as you said, it's the youth that will be talking soon. And as I said, they have this bitter feeling about them. And, you know, no one to harness it. And no, you look at the elders of the ANC, they have definitely failed the youth and the ANC over the 28 years that it has been in power. It hasn't delivered. And so where are the youth? They're like, you know, they're looking at a ship that has no captain, which is a rudderless. And, you know, I can tell you that it seems as if, can the EFF change its name? As it said, the RET group will come in there, and maybe Malema becomes the president of the ANC and the president of the country. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
I'm not sure if it'll get to that. I don't, it's highly unlikely. But what I can tell you is this, that he is going to demand, if he goes into a coalition, the position of the deputy president alone, at least. And he's going to demand very strategic positions like Minister of Finance and things. He's going to want to demand that, because remember, he wants to nationalize public enterprises. He may want to go into that. So, you know, the question we need to ask ourselves, nationalizing all these things, is it really going to work given, you know, the performance of state-owned companies and state-owned entities in South Africa? But remember, Malema is not interested in that. Malema is still very young, and Malema, all he wants is power and control and to enrich himself. I mean, you can look at the lifestyle that he leads and members of his party lead. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I want to tell you, he will hold the ANC to ransom. No doubt about it, if they're going to depend on him. The ANC might survive this 2024 election with smaller political parties. They might just do that. But after that, I think it will be the end of the road for the ANC. Because people are sympathetic to the ANC, and many people have not voted in the last elections in any event. And they may come out in this elections to vote for the ANC, depending on what happens, of course, in the conference that's coming up. And if the RET group is not going to succeed, they might just decide to withhold their votes. And then it's going to be, you know, chaos. And then, of course, after doing that, they perhaps might want to go another route and launch their own political party or align themselves with the EFF. Then what happens? So there's a lot to worry about. There's no doubt about it. But the youth are clearly being misdirected, and they are falling into the trap. And it is for that reason, I think, other political parties, need to also keep, you know, into the youth mark, because at the end of the day, the youth are the future of the country, and you're going to have to identify the right kind of youth. And bring them into mainstream politics right now. But if you're going to allow it to, the EFF is basically a one-man show right now, I can tell you. The day Malema goes, the EFF is not doing the same thing like the IFP. All these parties revolve around one particular person. The same thing happened in the NFP, if you remember, with my leader, former leader, Zanele Magwaza Msibi. You know, what they normally do in political parties, particularly black political parties, it's not about the brand, the party brand, but it's more around individuals. And that is not good, because when they're no longer there, it starts affecting your party. Fortunately for the ANC, you know, it wasn't as much as they've been using the brand of Mandela for a long period of time. And now that even that is being exposed, that's going to start, you know, affecting their credibility as well. But I think it was more on the liberation and everything. So they were had an advantage. All other parties, like the DA and things like that, of course, they don't surround themselves around any particular individual. Right now, if you look at the DA itself, you know, they don't really have the leadership, but they've got quality all around when it comes to you know, they try to identify the right kind of people. Whereas other political parties identify you by your popularity, you know, and how you can sing and dance and things like that. You know, and that is rife, particularly in black politics. If you are good in dancing and singing and things like that, of course, you become very popular. And in that mode, you are able to tell the people exactly what they want to hear. And people believe you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely brilliant there. And, you know, Mandela and all these guys, and Jacob Zuma with the machine gun song and all that, and they danced away to Zuma until he got exposed. But the country was still being run at a relatively, good rate. I mean, there was more security. You could, the crime wasn't that high. With Nelson Mandela, the whole story came out about him being a sellout with the Anglo-Americans and all the conglomerates buying him off. And that's why Mandela's legacy became very unpopular with the youth. And then you've got people like, the EFF, Julius Malema and all coming through and, jumping on the bandwagon and playing on that sentiment. But Ahmed, as we end off this morning, your parting words?
Well, your crime statistics gives another story. It tells you how unsafe you are. And for that reason, I think people need to be mindful. KwaZulu-Natal actually has now become the epicenter of crime in the country, strangely. But if you look at those statistics alone, Brother Shafir, it is shocking if you look at the murders, the attempted murders, the hijackings, the rape, you know, and things like that. So it means that we're in a very volatile situation currently. And it can, and remember, this is just the 3-month statistics that they've given you, so it can get progressively worse running to this conference, number one, but more importantly, as the unemployment rate jumps and things like that. So I think people just need to be very, very vigilant, and put some measures in place to protect themselves, protect their families, protect their properties and things like that.
Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam, as usual, brilliant indeed. Allah bless you. You have a mashallah week ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.